I'm Jill Alexander Esbaum, and my favorite thing is old-time radio thrillers and dramas.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hi there. Welcome back to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones. Today is Sunday, July 19th, 2020. And in this episode, I'm really excited. I talk with Jill Alexander Esbaum. She is a poet and author based in Austin, Texas. We met over 10 years ago at a literary festival in Chicago, which we talk a fair amount about. And since then, we've just been Facebook friends. And I read her first novel called Hausfrau and loved it. I thought it was amazing. And sometimes we go back and forth because we're both active lay leaders in our respective congregations. But she's not on Twitter. She's not on Instagram, to my knowledge. So we just have this very casual acquaintanceship, but of a decade. So what you're hearing of this interview, I probably cut 40 minutes off because we had so much catching up to do, all of which didn't need to be recorded and turned into a podcast. But the conversation we do have is a lot of fun. Jill is a huge fan of old time radio, of the golden age of radio. She takes us through her journey of how she found her first set of CDs about old time radio, what she has ID'd as her favorite things to listen to. And it's a really great introduction to old time radio, that it's there's a lot more to it than what was in the wireless catalog, if you got the wireless catalogs growing up. Also, a quick shout out to Nancy and Andy, who are my new sound editors, helping me improve the sound design week by week. So look forward to ever improving podcast quality. So I hope that you are able to stay home and stay safe and enjoy this conversation with Jill Alexander Esbaum about old time radio. Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and today I am very pleased to be joined with author and poet Jill Alexander Esbaum, coming live to us from Austin, Texas. Hi, Jill, how are you?
Hey there, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying a firework-free afternoon.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Welcome to Texas. They were doing that for all day long the other day.
Oh, I'm sure. Jill and I know each other. We were just reminiscing about having met at a literary festival that I helped organize in Chicago called Pilcrow in probably 2008, 2009.
Yeah, something like that. I actually looked it up, but now I forgot.
So Pilcrow was Amy Guth. It was her brainchild, and it was a chance to bring independent literary world of America and invite them to Chicago for a weekend of readings and schmoozing. A lot of schmoozing. So it was a really fun, it was so fun. We raised a lot of money for Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina had happened, I think maybe a year prior in New Orleans. So we did some great fundraisers, and we took over bars during the day to do literary panels. And it was just a lot of fun.
It was super fun.
Great. So what have you been up to lately? How is the great pause treating you?
Well, I've been watching a lot of television and doing a lot of puzzles. Now, I like puzzles, but I've done all the ones in the house. So I found a website where I can do puzzles on my iPad. So, you know.
Wow. So we're talking about jigsaw puzzles.
Jigsaw puzzles. Yeah, it's like a jigsaw planet or something like that. Lots of sitting has been happening over here.
Yeah. Sitting, some lounging.
Some lounging, you know.
Some lazing.
Lazing. And, internet squabbles, you know.
Yes.
Elections coming up. Got to start picking fights.
Yep. Yeah, I've picked some fights. I've taken seriously the advice that, like, We shouldn't unfriend our white friends who are saying ignorant and racist things right now. Like, we should stay and educate them so that Black people and people of color don't have to do the emotional labor to fix the people who are in our lives. And so I have been trying to find the ways to have those difficult conversations with totally random people that I haven't seen since 1995. So why are we Facebook friends anyway? But like, I've been trying to like stay in it a little bit more, but I'm not great at that. I'm learning.
Well, I get that. I'm not great at it either. And partly I think it's because I'm not sure I've ever seen change from that. I don't know that I've ever seen one. Well, I would like to see one time where a Facebook or a social media argument turns into true and everlasting change. I mean, I know I've been changed by reading things before, but never through like in direct engagement. But yeah, who knows?
So I think the one thing I have seen is that many years ago, I was at a conference called Jewlicious, because I like to go to anything with a Jewish pun. The Westboro Baptist Church was planning on protesting. And one of my friends, Dave Abitbol, had been tweeting with the Westboro Baptist Church with one of the daughters, and he was going to go out on the picket line and talk to her. And I was like, what are you doing? Don't waste your time. Don't talk to trolls. Don't give her any attention. That conversation and the conversations they had on Twitter led her to leaving the church. And like, now she's a speaker. She travels the country talking about leaving a hate group and how it was him getting on her level and talking about the Bible, that like, and him using his knowledge of Torah and like going verse for verse with her, that made her realize that how she had been taught to think about the Bible was like the wrong interpretation interpretation.
But that was a face-to-face encounter.
It was face-to-face, but it started online. Okay. It was like a Twitter. It was Twitter. And I was really like, dude, we could, you know, like go to the gym and watch some music. Like, why are you wasting your time tweeting with this, you know, tweeting with this troll? And now, and there's going to be a movie about it. And there's like a book. So that's one person.
Okay. That's really cool. That's really cool. Did she convert to Judaism?
I don't think so, but she's got a lot of really close friends in the Jewish community.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Really happy. Thank you. That's
You're
a great
welcome.
Story.
You're welcome. So as we talked about on email, this podcast is where I talk to people about their favorite thing. So what are we here to talk about today?
My favorite thing is old time radio programs.
Old-time radio programs.
It is. And when you ask me about favorite things, I ran through several because I have a lot of favorite things, but it comes back to this. And I think this is my, when people ask me if I have a hobby, that's what I say. I say my hobby is collecting old-time radio programs, which is basically if that's downloading them, but also listening to them. So collecting, that's kind of the wrong word, but curating a collection of old-time radio.
Okay, so help me understand what is in the realm of old-time. Is it old-time? Is it, do you have like years of production you look for, or is it a style and you'll listen to modern versions of the style?
No. So when I talk about old-time radio, I'm referring to what's usually known as the golden age of radio, right? So between lots of different people put it at different dates, but mostly I listen to between the 40s and the late 50s. So there's about 20 solid years of radio dramas that were produced, you know, because people didn't have Netflix. So,
right.
You know, they couldn't, like we were talking about, watch The Office over and over again, but they would gather around, you know, the wireless, and after listening to the news or what have you, then they'd listen to, there were soap operas, there were dramas, there were game shows, comedies, and thrillers. And the programs that I'm most interested in are the thrillers. There was a very famous, probably maybe the main, it was called Suspense.
Okay.
It went on for decades. They were radio dramas, 30-minute radio dramas produced by, there were mystery writers and crime writers. I mean, you know, Orson Welles did, you know, things for them. Lucille Fletcher was a very famous writer who wrote a bunch of suspense programs. A lot of these people who, after they sort of graduated, I guess, from old-time radio programs into working for things like The Twilight Zone, Anton Lieber.
Okay.
But the thrillers are the ones that interest me. You know, we were just talking about crime podcasts.
Yeah. And,
so they're usually around a crime that has already happened or is in the middle of happening in the program. And, you know, there's one show called The Whistler where you already know who commits the crime. But if you listen to the end, there's like a twist. Now, you know, when I try to introduce my friends to these shows, they're like, Jill, they're so evident. They're so obvious. They're
right.
Surprise here. But it's not about surprise. The name is in the title. It's suspense. That's not the same thing, you know.
So how is it that you know the person at the beginning? Do they like show you? Do you hear the crime and then people try to solve it, or?
No. Well, so The Whistler is the one where you know who's guilty, but by the end of it, there's some twist. Like usually they'll get their comeuppance, like,
okay.
Then they'll accidentally drink the cup that the other person had poisoned, or you know, some silly things. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of programs. I mean, these are on for a really long time. I think, and I, before we talked, I went in my, on my iTunes and I wanted to count how many programs I had.
Okay.
And I was counting the thrillers and I wrote down, I have 1,129 programs, which is just, you know, a fraction of the ones. But if I looked at all of them, it would be like 20 days.
Wow. So I have so many questions that I'm going to try and keep them orderly. How did you first find radio dramas?
So I remember this kind of vividly. Do you remember bookstores? Like when you used to go to the
bookstores? I do remember bookstores. I look forward to going to them again. God willing. But yeah, I remember bookstores.
I'm thinking in the future where we're sitting on porches and people don't say, Grandma, what's a bookstore? They say, Grandma, what's a book? You know?
Right.
I know. That was sad. I remember, and this was, I can tell you, this was probably around 2005. And I am putting it at that date because my mom was no longer living. And I'll tell you why I remember that here in a second, but I was at a Barnes and Noble. I think it was Barnes and Noble. They had, you know, they have those sections where you could buy CDs.
Yeah.
And, but it was, they had a CD collection of Suspense, like the best programs from Suspense. And I bought it and I went home and I listened to it. And I'm like, this is really fucking cool. Oh, can I say that?
You can. You,
okay. Yes. This is really fucking cool. And I thought it was so neat. And I'm like, I've got to get some more of these. Just the, you know, and I think with my ears a lot. I think a lot of others do. And so I like the oral stimulation and I thought, well, I can't go back and buy, like, you know, if I have to spend $40 every time I wanted to buy, you know, however many CDs, that's going to get really expensive. So I'll just listen to these over and over again. Well, I mean, I listened to them ran through them very quickly. But then I found a website where I could pay, you know, my member dues. And then somebody had already curated all of the things and you can download them. And I still belong to it. It's called RUSC and it's are you sitting comfortably? You know, like, are you sitting comfortably?
Yeah.
So I still belong to this website. And I remember it's about that time because after I listened to it, I thought my mom would so fucking love, oh shit, she's dead. I can't share these with her. So that remembered that it was then. Just, you know, it's, there are things I hadn't heard before. You know, if you're watching television, and I do like media, I love TV, like nobody's business, but you have to engage your eyes as well as your ear with that. But you know, I'm the queen of doing seven things at once. So I like to have my hands free to do other things. Listening to something in the background. Yeah, I for some reason, to some degree, I think that's why podcasts are, you know.
Absolutely.
Totally. Then I just started downloading them and just listening to them. And that would be the only thing that I listened to all day long were just old time radio programs. And probably it did have to do with after my mom died, I didn't really want to be in the moment, you know. Yeah. And I'm living in a life that was happened well before I was born. You know, I don't, are we the same age? I'm 48.
I'm 43.
Okay, so you're younger than I am. But, you know, so, but that was not our childhood. We didn't sit around the radio listening to Little Orphan Annie. And
right. I was going to say, like, our experience of old-timey radio is in The Christmas Story.
Totally. Or Radio Days. Or
yeah, you know. Like, you'll drink your Ovaltine with the decoder ring.
There are, and those are programs you can, that are still available. And I've done, there's enough people who've been interested in it now. And also because of the, you know, because of the way the internet has developed, other people have different archives. And if you can go on actually the Internet Archive, and like on the Internet Archive, they have like a playlist of every Whistler that was ever produced, right?
How were they? I feel so dumb, but were they live radio or were they like recorded onto records and shipped out to radio stations to be able to play them? Like, how are there archives of radio shows from the 40s and 50s?
I'm not a scholar about this, and I want to write something about it, but then I'd have to learn more about it, like take the fan part where I'm just enjoying it out of it. I will tell you, for the Whistler, so every, I think it was Sunday, every Sunday the Whistler would come on and there was a woman, so their theme song was this, it was a person whistling and there was a woman who would whistle and it was live every time she whistled it. It wasn't recorded like...
I guess I feel like what I understand of it are things... are like the movie versions of you know, behind the scenes and people doing, you
with
know,
the clip-clop, you know, and the thunder. Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I'm just kind of getting stuck on like how, like I don't. I mean, are you sure like a little man doesn't live inside the radio?
And I'm not sure.
I think he's the cousin of the guy who lives inside the fridge who turns the light off. I don't know. And then there would be the East Coast broadcast and the West Coast time. And so there were, I know there was stuff in New York and there was stuff in LA. And so however the magic is that it got there, it was broadcast. And I know some of these were live to some degree because there are mistakes and people trip over the lines, you know.
In these internet archives and user groups that you're a part of, then are there people who are experts in collecting different topics, or do you have like go-to places for the shows you like, or you know that?
Well, at this point, they're all on my computer, so that's what I go to. And I've never interacted with people about this. I think, you know, because it's just, I'm an insomniac. I mean, I'm more awake in the middle of the night than I am during the day. So it's at that only time in the middle of the night, you already feel like you're out of sorts with your own world. You know, why don't I just put on some of these old programs, and now I'm literally in a different era. It really is kind of a fun
time travel.
It is kind of a fun time travel. And like I said, you're not that committed to, you know, it's not like listen to a, we aren't going to listen to a movie anyway, but you know, it's just, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, depending. Some of these are like Suspense did a few things where they would adapt. You know, like I know they have one episode of The Pit and the Pendulum, right? You know, right. So they would adapt stories to, but Suspense was great because they would also have actors, like there were, like Lucille Ball played in at least one of them. And Agnes Moorehead, you know, in Dora.
Yeah.
She was like the queen of Suspense. She was on so many episodes of Suspense. Like she was the grand dame of radio mystery drama.
Wow.
So it's kind of fun hearing him. Like, I know this voice. Oh, wait, that's Cary Grant. Okay, yeah.
Would they, do you have a sense of, were they coming on as like a special guest star to boost the ratings? Or is this like pre-Hollywood Cary Grant?
No, it was, I think they were, it was concurrent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was concurrent. And I think it was something that people always enjoyed doing.
Yeah, you don't have to do hair or makeup. Don't have to do wardrobe. You just go in a studio and read your lines and walk out.
But I have to tell you, I have noticed, so I listen to them in the background a lot. Occasionally I'll run, listen to something and I'll realize that I've stolen that line and put it in a book.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
That you've listened to them enough that they're really like seeped in.
Right. Or I liked the line so much I wrote it down somewhere and then didn't cite it and then just used it.
That, I love that. That's fantastic. So you have 20 days worth of radio dramas. Are there some episodes for you that are comfort food, that are your go-tos, or do you just kind of go through your playlist start to finish?
Oh, no. I have comfort ones. So in fact, I actually did pull up. So if I go on my iTunes, so on one of my playlists, so I have one, it's called Old Time Radio and it has all of them, but then I have my one that I call Favorite Old Time Radios. And so I have like 2 days worth of favorites played. There's one I really like called Dark Journey, and it was a suspense episode. And it starts off, they're on a train, and gosh, I don't even remember the woman who was in it. She's like, "We are on a dark journey. I am going to visit my friend, and I haven't seen her since that last fateful weekend where we went together to New York to visit the man who she was, the friend that she was visiting was attached to." And anyway, it's a story about this woman who was in love with this man, and this man was really indifferent to her. Uh-huh. And so she kind of loses her shit at some point in the episode when the guy won't have anything to do with her. And she's like, "I can will him to me. I can will him to my, into my arms." And anyway, in the end, she winds up marrying him. And the reason that this woman hasn't seen her in a long time is because she saw that look on her face, and really she had created a monster. And the reason that the guy hadn't been with her is he was killing his mother at the time. And then now she's going to see the dark journey is now she's going to go see her friend who's dead at the hands of this evil man. I mean, it's all creepy, and I don't know. I didn't explain it very well, but you know, the face that I made that you saw right there, that was the intensity of how much I care for this.
Wow.
A lot of these are interior things. So they are crime related, but it's, yeah, it's not so much about the crime or how like whiz bang it's committed. It's the internal struggle, the way that it affects the person who is, it's happening to, or who's watching it happen.
Yeah.
So I like that one. There's one called Cabin B-13. It's also a suspense where a woman is on a ship and she is getting, everybody says, "There is no Cabin B-13. Well, really, you know, there wasn't, but she had been with a guy who was like a ship's officer, but you know, he was really trying to steal her money and he tricked her. And in the end, somebody, you know, he was trying to kill her, push her off. I don't know. I don't do a very good job explaining it, but like, you can tell that you want to listen to it now, right?
Yeah, I do. Cause it's scams and it's love and it's loss and it's drama, but it lets you hear the interior life that you can't have in a movie, like another voiceover. Yeah.
And okay, this is going to sound really wacky, but their voices, I love their voices. Mm-hmm. It's the way that people talked on TV in the 1940s. Their voices sound like diamonds. I don't know. You can see the lip liner. I mean, it's just, you know, they're all shiny. And
There's this like this kind of the same era type of way that like Yiddish was sung, like in this like warbly soprano voice of like, and I was like, I just always assumed like the vinyl got warped or the tape was warped. And then a couple years ago, I was on a trip with a woman who was Russian, and it was another Jewish conference, and she was just singing in the lobby. She sang in that warbly soprano Yiddish style. And I was like, I suddenly realized it wasn't a technology that gave us that voice. Like that was the real voice. And here she was in 2018, and she had learned how to do that style of performance.
It's like, that's like a timestamp on a, yeah. That's really cool.
There's a scene in the Netflix show Hollywood. Ryan Murphy, I think, directed it. It's problematic, I think, in lots of ways that we're not going to talk about. But there's a scene where one of the acting coaches is teaching someone the voice. And this is like maybe 5 years after Gone with the Wind. It's early 40s. It's 46, 47. It's after the war.
Right.
And it's this whole classroom of actors being taught the voice. Unlearn your Midwestern or New York or prairie accent and get like that Hollywood voice, that radio voice that was so distinct.
It is so distinct. And in fantasy Espalm land, I am a radio actress.
Yeah. Now, have you tried writing scripts for radio dramas? Have you ever thought about that?
No, I haven't. Now, the place where you can listen to radio dramas now is through the BBC. They have, and I listen to those too. On BBC Radio 4, they have Drama of the Week.
Yeah.
So there are people doing radio dramas.
So these are modern dramas the style of, or?
No, they're just modern dramas, and some of them are comedies, you know, but just it's radio plays. In fact, the BBC is Radio 4. They have all sorts of lovely.
I briefly lived in London, and what I would listen to go to sleep at night was The Shipping News.
The Shipping News, podcast. Yeah. The Beaufort Scale, you know, I love
that. South by Southwest, -2.
Orkney, 3. You know, yeah. I love.
I'm like, I don't know what any of this means, but it is the most calming voice and the most nonsense pile of words and numbers. I love it. All right. So you found radio dramas at a bookstore. Then you found the internet. User groups and places where you could download and fill up your iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And there was a time where I was downloading kind of everything. I'd be like, oh, here's a soap opera, here's a comedy. And you know, there is great love in my heart for the comedies of the time, Fibber McGee and Molly and the George and Gracie and all of that. But I always go back to the thrillers. They're so dramatic, you know?
And are the thrillers more episodic, like they're one and done, or do any of them have arcs that go over a season?
No, they're one and done. They're one and done. There were soap operas, right? So growing up, my favorite soap opera I watched with my mom were As the World Turns and Guiding Light. And Guiding Light started out on the radio, you know. So I have
really
I did.
Wow.
So I have all of the Guiding Lights that I could find, you know. Of course, some of the characters are still, you know, it's still in families. You know,
yeah.
Here now, but game shows also. I enjoy, of course, You Bet Your Life, Groucho Marx.
Yep.
That's always kind of fun. And I was going to mention this. You would think that they had like saved whole days of this, but there was like only one entire broadcast day from a radio station that was recorded, and I wrote it down. Hold on, where was it? It's WRSV, I don't know, LMNOP. They did a whole broadcast day. It was in 1939. It was 19 hours worth of shows. So it was like the news. They played a baseball game. There were the dramas, you know, the soap operas.
Yeah, I want to listen to some of this now, because I during this great pause, this COVID pause that we're in, I live alone with two cats, one of whom you've seen so far. And so the podcasts I listen to are the ones that make it feel like I have company. And it doesn't matter if I space out and miss something, because they're just talking about fast food.
We're just talking about fast food, yeah.
But it fills the space in my apartment with... It just feels like I have company.
You were asking about favorites, and I had totally forgotten until I pulled it up. There's one, and I believe it's based on a Ray Bradbury story, and several different programs did this. It's called Zero Hour. And I know that when it was done with suspense, they got hate mail for it because it was so scandalous and wicked. It's a story about this little girl whose name was Mink, like the fur. And she's out with her friends and she's playing Invasion, and she's using like pots and pans and rattling off numbers. And the mother's like, Mink, what are you doing? Oh, we're playing Invasion with Drill, with their friend Drill. They're invisible. Uh-huh. And Drill's going to induce the invasion, or whatever it is she says. And so the mother's like, well, that's weird. Why is my little girl playing in the mud with the... Okay. And then she talks to her sister on the phone and says, hey, you know, Julie, are your kids playing that crazy game Invasion? And so as you find out, there's kids all over the world playing this game Invasion, talking about this person named Drill. Uh-huh. And it was like a password or something. But, you know, then the little girl says, well, we'll make sure it's not going to hurt. Drill said, you know, that the grown-ups can't live, but we'll make it quick or whatever. And so, but anyway, the invasion was going to take place that day. And so something happens and their little tinkering causes Drill, whatever he is, the Martian, to be able to come through the planet and, you know, kill all the adults. And then the kids, it was really weird, right?
Wow.
And it popped up. But they, and of course, I mean, you know, we've watched this now and we'd be like, cool, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
They got hate mails and stuff from these things.
Was it, because this is where War of the Worlds happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is this era of radio?
Yeah, totally. So like maybe there's like a cautionary tale with it, right? Like, you know, you're telling children that it's okay to defy their parents and, you know, kill them so that the Martians can take over. We right. can't pass that.
And I guess depending on the time of night, is it late enough that the audience is adults, or is it, you know, like early enough that it's kids are getting an ear on it? And I mean, but there's plenty that was on of TV that was on after our bedtimes that we saw.
Yeah, for sure.
So would our parents have reported that of the things that we were watching? Probably not, but like we found ways to watch TV after bedtime. So
we found ways to watch TV after bedtime, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I could imagine, like, my great aunt's house was a two up, two down farmhouse. Mm-hmm. So it was just living room, kitchen on the first floor, two bedrooms upstairs, and an incredibly steep stairwell. It was practically a ladder. And it's so easy for me to imagine my cousins and my mom and my aunts and uncles, like, being little kids in those two bedrooms upstairs, just like leaning over the top of the stairwell to hear to hear the radio. So that is easy for me to imagine.
I remember when I was growing up, it was like, I don't know that my parents really cared if we saw violence on television, but like sex. Yeah.
Right. Sex. Yeah.
No sex. But these weren't really sex, but they're all murders and stuff. So there was violence. And,
yeah.
But these are also people who just, you know, are living in the middle of a war, you know, a world war. So maybe it's not that big of a deal. I don't know.
What are other ways that you... either other things that you have found since discovering them, or...
And as I was thinking through this, a lot of my other, you know, go-tos are audio. You know, we were talking about podcasts, but I also spend a lot of time... Do you know the website LibriVox?
No. It's free voice, right?
Yeah. Well, it's people volunteer to read aloud, to do books on tape, even though it's not tape anymore, but everybody still calls it books on tape.
Yeah.
In the public domain. So they volunteer, they read chapters in books, and then they upload them to LibriVox that you can download.
Wow. The only problem
with the LibriVox website is that their interface sucks balls. It's just really hard to find what you're looking for. Because mostly I don't go there looking for stories, although I will tell you, if you are really desperate to fall asleep, listening to anything by Wilkie Collins will do it. Although they do also have, like, people, they have insomnia collections where people are, like, literally reading phone books or tables.
Yeah.
And that, but like I found like old cookbooks, domestic cookery from, you know, 18 whatever, and people are just reading recipes, or sex manuals, like not just like the Kama Sutra, but like marriage manuals from like the 1800s, how men are supposed to relate to women.
Yeah.
And, you know, just things like that. So I'll listen to those. I really like Quirk in terms of audio. So I'll do that. And like I said, I spend a lot of time on like the BBC. There's one faith show that's pretty good on the BBC called Beyond Belief.
Okay.
Where they have theologians and professors talk about different aspects, like, you know, light in religion, or suicide, or, you know, the Druids or whatever.
Yeah.
So I tend to go in those kind of directions. It's none of it's really organized around any kind of theme, just whatever interests me at the moment. But, you know, we were talking about comedy. I also have my other listening go-to, Phil Hendry. Do you know him?
No.
I have a radio program called The Phil Hendry Show. And he would do characters, and the characters would be, he would start out interviewing them, and they would be normal things, but then it would devolve very quickly into something kind of wild. Like he still does this, but I don't know if it's actually on the radio. But he had a character, Bobby Dooley, who would talk about going, oh, well, we're going to go visit Germany, and we're going to go to Berchtesgaden, and we're going to go to Dachau or whatever. And then it would like devolve into like afterwards she was going to get on the bus and have a veal and pepper sandwich. And then people would be like, well, you're not going to want to eat when you go, oh, no, I've already paid for the sandwich. And it was like third kind of comedy and ridiculous. So I listened to those a lot too. Just like, because I'm on this thing where I'm doing like 5 miles a day of walking, which doesn't sound like that much, but it's
sounds like a lot in Austin, Texas in July.
It is.
Like, do you have to go at 3 a.m?
No, but I do either go first thing in the morning or last thing before I go to bed.
Yeah.
That's like an hour and a half of time to fill.
Yeah.
So I have to sort of curate what I'm going to listen to.
Yeah.
Okay, like what podcast, what old time radio program, what Phil Hendry radio comedy I'm going to listen to. And then also I have archives of like old commercials from the 70s and things that I've downloaded. So
that's so fun. It does make me think of, there was a talk show I listened to when I lived in Colorado. So this is like 99, 2000.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Yes. I still subscribe. I make host. They're called Coast to Coast Insiders.
Yes.
I still bought. Now he's dead. Rest in peace. And the guy who is the host now, I really don't like, but his guest host, I'm still okay with.
All right.
The listener, yeah, the paranormal, Area 51, yeah. You know, people, Illuminati, that kind of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, cause at the time when I was really listening to it was, I was like a waitress and I worked at Walmart. I worked at Walmart until 2 a.m. and then I'd have to come down and kind of like unwind and try and get to sleep, get some sleep before I had to go to the restaurant the next day. But yeah, listening to Art Bell talk to people about the shadow people was maybe not always a great way to fall asleep.
That is not the great way to fall asleep. He has these classic interviews with it was Father Malachi Martin, and he had been a Vatican priest, and yeah. He had several interviews. So there's like 12 hours of archived interviews of him talking to this priest about exorcisms. That is also a go-to for me, but it's really okay. Scary, and I wouldn't recommend listening to that
at
before
night.
You go to sleep.
So that's a morning walk story.
Yeah, that's a morning walk thing. That's a morning walk.
Yeah, those were... I listened to, I just think I had an old radio or a clock radio, and it was pretty limited in what it could get in, but Art Bell came in loud and clear.
I really like audio. I like audio. Yeah.
I really rejected it for years. My friends would say, ask me, like, what podcast was I listening to? And they're just like, there's no one else we know but you that, like, screams podcast. But I just refused. I just couldn't. I had a hard time understanding, like, how to get them onto my phone to listen to them. I was always losing headphones. Like, I just, for whatever reason, I just was too lazy for podcasts. And then the West Wing Weekly came out. And I had recently enough watched West Wing for the first time that I was like, okay, I'll listen to this podcast. And then once you're listening to one hour of audio a week isn't enough. And it's easier to get the NPR Sunday morning shows as podcasts than try and keep my radio tuned on top of my microwave. So once I opened the floodgates to podcasts, now I've got like 20 in the mix that I regularly revisit.
I recently looked up for my long ass walks. I was like, I gotta find some other stuff to listen to. Cause you know, if you have some, why not more? And so I just, you know, Google searched on weird or outre podcasts. And I found one called Pen Addict, where it's like people talking about pens.
Yeah.
Have you listened to that one?
I haven't, but I have some friends. Is it about fountain pens?
It's about stationary pens. I mean, it's pretty fucking specific.
That's amazing. Let me look at my list. I don't have anything right now that's that specific. So one that I return to regularly is called Gilmore Guys, which is two guys talking about the Gilmore Girls. But they have episodes... They have episodes that are like 3 hours long talking about one episode of the Gilmore Girls. So it's just good. Again, I can tune in and tune out. It's comfort noise.
I just started listening to Office Ladies, which is, you know, Angela Kinsey and Jenna Fisher rewatching. Yeah. And I put it off for so long because I thought it would really interfere with my love of the show. But as it turns out, they're fucking delightful. And I want to be pals with them, IRL, as the kids say. Just as we were talking, I pulled this up. I have a lot of paranormal, you know, stuff they don't want you to know. Stuff you should know about, or stuff they don't want you to know. And I know that there are, and this I have actively avoided listening to. I know there are podcasts that talk about old time radio, but again, you know, I think the reason I come to it is just because I like the way it sounds. I like the way it feels in my ears.
Yeah.
And the buttons that it punches, maybe in my artist's soul, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, maybe there's something I've never tried to write it. I don't really feel the need. I don't feel that's not where it takes me, but
yeah. You know,
I like the way it I like feeling like I'm in 1947 Los Angeles. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important lesson. That's hard to, like, it's hard to remember in 2020 that it's okay to love something without turning it into a side hustle or without recreating it, that it's something that it's only been in the last few years that I've gotten comfortable, just because I did stand-up comedy in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, I was just like, okay, I'm going to do it again. I'm 40 now. I've got more to say. I've got a thicker skin. The Me Too movement has started. So maybe like comedy is a safer space to be a woman. And I did it for another summer, and then I started listening to comedy podcasts and heard like one stand-up comic after another say, well, no, the advice I give people is if you can imagine doing anything else with your life, do the other thing. Like if you have to do stand-up comedy, do stand-up comedy. But if you don't, if it's not a drive, then do something else. And that is how I started to give myself permission to like be comfortable with the fact that I wasn't driving towards professional comedy.
That's a hard thing, you know, because that's good advice to give anyone. Like if you can think of doing something else, then find the thing to do that you can not live without doing, you know, and like that's, but like, I get it, you know, it's really hard to give ourselves permission to love something just because we fucking love it. You know, there's no reason to or not to. I just like it.
Yeah. And you don't have to like it ironically. You don't have to like it with cynical detachment. Like it is really fun to find joy in a piece of art or a piece of media and just want to enjoy it without having to make it an academic pursuit or anything more than a thing you enjoy.
You know, I've been working on it. I'll tell you this. I haven't talked about this in a long time because I haven't been actively working on it. I love jokes too.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about that. And in my files, it's called Untitled Joke Book that I've been working on for years, where it's like, you know, joke. I mean, I'm looking at my table right now. Half the stuff here are joke books. And it's like, if I think of a joke, I write it down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure somebody else has told the joke before. I'm sure someone else has told it better, but did I come up with it? That's like the rule. That's where it right. got to be. So it's where I keep like my puns and my, you know, all of that. I'm never going to be a stand-up comic,
yeah.
but I like jokes. So this is why I have a little joke book going on right here.
That is fantastic.
Do you have a favorite joke?
Did you hear about the new pirate movie coming out this summer?
I did not.
It's rated R. So I like those things. I like two guys walked into a bar. Third one ducks.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. I love that
stuff. Yeah, and then I just have really just tried to enjoy being a fan of stand-up comic without feeling in competition or regretful about my life path.
That is so hard, the competition part.
It's so hard. But it's a lot more fun to be like, yeah, that's something I tried in my 20s and it turns out wasn't for me. And I've got a few famous people that I can drop into conversation and I have some stories about them. And earlier in their careers, they still remembered me and that was nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't even run around with them. We went to the same open mics and they never invited me to go do anything outside of an open mic. But like, you know, we're Facebook friends.
Yeah, there comes that point where you realize you're not going to be able to do everything. We're not going to be able to do everything.
Yeah.
So you spend your time on what you care most about. Do I want to do something because I love it? Or do I want to do something because I want to be the best at it? I mean, that's two different things. And yeah. Some things I do, I love and I want to be the best at. I mean, who doesn't like to win?
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, just even going back to any of this, this is a great idea that you have for this podcast. There's no reason to love something except that you do.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be about big life lessons, or it can just be It can be bubblegum for your ears.
Bubblegum for your ears. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Blow bubbles in a parking lot.
Yes. So, Jill, this has been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. What is I mentioned your new book, I believe, I hope I mentioned at the top, Woodland, a book of poetry. Your first novel came out a few years ago, Hausfrau. But what are you up to these days? What would you like to promote?
So, yes, Woodland just came out, and people are welcome to buy copies of it directly from the publisher if they like. It's cooperdillon.com. And I have been telling people this for the first, because you know you're going to make a ton of money selling poetry, just so you know.
It is one of the top five ways people become billionaires.
This is how I bathe in diamonds every night. I have committed the first year's worth of royalties of this book to a charity, which is Mica 6 in Austin. It's a food bank, interdenominational food bank and life center resources for people who are struggling or people who are homeless. And so that's the first year of royalties are all going to Mica 6 of Austin.
Wonderful. So people should buy it from Cooper Dillon.
CooperDillon.com. And, you know, buy more than one. Write that shit off your taxes.
Yeah. I mean, poetry is always an excellent gift.
It is a good gift. I will tell people it's a little bit sad.
Okay.
But there are a lot of puns in it. It has funny moments.
All right.
It's got a lot of trees on the cover. It might be one of my favorite covers of all my books.
It is a beautiful cover.
Yes, I'm holding it up to the screen like the people in the can see it.
I will include the link in the station notes, in the episode notes.
Yeah, and I'm working on a new novel right now. And maybe some other stuff. Maybe a book of short stories. I've been doing this little experiment every day where I write a new short story.
So. Wow, a new one every day.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I start a new one. I do these timed writing episodes every day, and I've been doing it for a while. And so my theory is that you can come up with anybody can come up with an idea. It's the see-through that's it's following. So if I time myself for a new idea every day, then, you know, at the end of the year, I'll have 365 ideas to choose from, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I'm not going for 365. I'm just going for a certain amount. But maybe, hopefully, I can have a book of short stories. So basically, I'm teaching myself how to write a short story because I don't think I've ever written one successfully.
Okay.
I already wrote my life story. It was called Hausfrau. You know?
And it was phenomenal.
Thank you.
And I remember when I mentioned, I read it in Israel and then I passed it on to a girlfriend to read. But the first person I saw after I finished reading it, I was like, she's still too new in her immigrant experience to read this book. I'm going to give this to someone who is like a little more acclimated to her new country.
It is not a book for for lots of reasons. It's not a book I would recommend. In fact, there's people I know who like have kids or who've had like trouble in their marriages. And I've said, we've been friends for a really long time. And I'm telling you right now, don't read this book.
Right. But it is, I loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. And if you ever wrote a short story about snow cones, I would read that too. Because it's really like one of my favorite Facebook love stories is like when you guys post your snow cone anniversary photo every year. So,
well, how are we going to do it this year is what I'm saying.
It's time to invest in a snow cone machine, I think.
We have a snow cone machine. And okay, so our meet-iversary, and this will be our 9 year.
Nine years.
I know,
wow.
Right? When you and I met, I think maybe I had just gotten divorced.
Yeah.
So I was dating a bunch of different people. But Alvin and I met in 2011 because we always have to get the same snow cone. I had a sugar-free banana. He had small. He had a medium spearmint, which is the nastiest flavor short of sugar-free banana. Yeah. And we always get the same phones. And so this year we have to do something different.
Is the snow cone place closed for the COVID?
I don't know. It's literally a mile away from our house. So I shall walk by there today.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I could see needing to make new plans. There's maybe another way to get sugar-free banana and spearmint. What a strange flavor combination. I mean, it wasn't combined. It was one-on-one, but...
It's one-on-one, but now the world... I mean, we can't not do it. We have to do the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And so then, so what we would usually do is recreate our first date and then our second date, which was then we went to my favorite vegetarian restaurant down the street on the second date, which was the next day, which we followed up with coffee across the street. But the coffee shop is closed. It's gone now.
Okay.
The restaurant is still there. So we're going to have to figure out something to make sure that our marriage stays solid.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing the compromise you come up with this year.
I'm sure there will be photos because that's, it's now, it's has to.
It's a tradition.
It is tradition.
It's tradition.
Thank you for having me. Thank you
so much. This was great.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.
Okay, so you met your editor at Pilcrow?
Yes, Adam Deutsch.
Yeah.
Yes, that's...
He's still your editor?
Yeah, well, he's done 2 of my books of poems, yeah.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't think I had met him before that, but I met you and Amy and him.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, Betsy Crane. Do you know her?
Yes, I remember her.
Yeah, I met her there. I actually work with her now. We didn't realize that that's where we met until we started working together. Isn't that weird?
That is so weird.